sometimes when we sing, thank you. Sometimes when we sing, we forget that the words have meaning, and we're so busy trying to get the tune right that we miss the words. So this is a prayer to the Lord. So let's pray it together. Okay, we're not going to sing it. We're going to pray it. All right, here we go. Ready? Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority, words of power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us, truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Amen. Wow. Isn't that an amazing song? We're going to hear now from my brother. It's been how many years did you figure this out? It's been a long time since Richard Hill has been here with us. We've got some rather mighty strange things up here on this communion table, but he's going to come and minister to us. He's from Las Vegas, and he is going to be talking to us today about the Messiah in the Passover. How many of you have ever seen a Passover illustration like this? It's just really, really great. So come, brother, and minister to us as he brings the shofar. God bless you.
Shalom, everyone. Oh, Pastor, that was not a very good shalom. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
That's much better. All right. And I can hear myself really loud, too. That's good. I like it. Well, my name is Richard Hill, and I'm with CJF Ministries. We are a ministry organization that is bringing the gospel of Jesus to the Jewish people in Las Vegas and around the world. So wherever God brings me, I'm sharing that gospel with Jewish people, and we have missionaries all around the world as well, so we're a worldwide missionary organization, and I'll tell you, God is blessing us. We are very excited to be here today and being able to share our ministry and also talk about the Passover. But let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing in Las Vegas. Now, does anybody know how many Jewish people live in Las Vegas? Want to take a guess? Five? I heard five. No, that's not a good number. No. 80,000 Jewish people living in Las Vegas. Can you imagine if we all moved out here to Kingman? You wouldn't have any more homes left around in this place, right? Too many. Too many. We have a lot, though, and it's very exciting to be down there. And God brought us 16 years ago, my family and I, to bring the gospel to them. And we do it in a number of different ways. Now, one way is we have a Messianic Jewish congregation in town. We're on the southwest side of town. It's called Beth Yeshua. So if you're ever in town, come on by. If you're there on a Friday night, we'd love for you to come by. And we're going to be doing our Passover Seder, our actual celebration, in about 3 weeks as well. So if you're interested in that, you can ask me about it afterward. But we have people come from around Arizona and California. They all come out for our Passover Seders and some of our services as well. But this is how we introduce Jesus as Messiah to the Jewish people that are unsaved, that never have really heard the gospel message. And sometimes they'll come, like even on a Passover, and we'll be able to share them Jesus in a Jewish way so that they would at least be willing to receive it on some kind of level. Now, it's not easy bringing the gospel to the Jewish people. How many here have family or friends that are Jewish? Raise your hand. Quite a lot. Now, how many have you led those Jewish people to the Lord?
Only one.
You saw a hand?
No.
Oh, me. Yeah, you're right. It's not easy. That's the whole point, right? Yeah, Jewish people have learned from birth on up not to believe in Jesus. Not to believe in Jesus. The rabbis teach them, their parents teach them, don't believe in Jesus. He's not our Messiah. He is the Gentile God. Yes, he can be their God, but he's not our God, right? Because our God is one and only one. And that's a very unfortunate situation. And so we come up to a real spiritual wall. Satan has Jewish people locked away. But, you know, God is breaking down that wall, and many are coming to know Jesus around the world, especially in Israel, too. We have a lot of Jewish people coming to know Jesus there, but they're coming to know Jesus around the world now, so we're excited about that. Now, we have a couple of different ministries. I go to the malls, and I share the gospel with Jewish people there. On the back table, I actually brought some of my evangelistic t-shirts that I use. One of them says, I love Israel on it. The other one says, Jesus loves you with a star of David on it as well. And so we walk the malls with those shirts, and the Jewish people actually come up to us and pull us over, and they want to talk to us. They see that star of David, but they don't see that Jesus loves you part. That's the thing. And so if you go on our website at cjfm.org, you can go to my webpage, and they got video of me in the mall there, and you see me doing this a lot to my shirt. I'm pointing to the Jesus loves you part, you know, and showing them about the Jesus loves you part because they just see that star of David. So it's kind of cool. I get to share the gospel every time they pull me over. And we gave away I love Israel t-shirts. Now, how many people know Israel is under a lot of spiritual, emotional, and physical pressure right now from the world? It's not just our nation coming against them. Did you hear me on that? Not just our nation, our president and his administration coming against Israel, which they are doing right now as we speak. I don't know if you knew this or not, but he's going to the UN to ask them to get permission or ask the UN to actually intercede to make Israel into a two-state nation. Make them without negotiation. Without negotiation with Palestinians or with Israel. So, yeah, that's totally a going against what our prior presidents have made agreements with the world, the nation of Israel, and whatnot. But so we're coming under a lot of spiritual attack in that respect as well. And so we got to pray for Israel. This is not a good time for them. And we know, of course, what's going to happen in the future. There is going to be a Holocaust by Antichrist. He is going to, cause a lot of problems for Israel. So we need to be praying for them and just pray that they'll come to know Jesus right now. And that's the reason why we want them to be saved now and have that opportunity before, you know, tribulation period comes. But we're working, the world is working now into that direction. So very, very serious. So we go to the malls. We also have a campus outreach at UNLV. And we're down there and we're sharing not only with Jews and Gentiles, lots of different races and religions. And I met a guy Thursday. This is the first time I ever met anybody that was not Jehovah's Witness and did not believe that the Holy Spirit was God, part of the Trinity. They only believe in two in one God, Father and Son. So that was kind of perplexing and interesting. And so now we're texting one another and we're going back and forth. And so I'm going to be bringing some more scriptures to him. But that same mentality when you meet the cults, it's like, well, I have the truth and I don't want to listen to you. I'm not going to reconcile what you have to say with what I believe. And so that's probably not going to last too long, you know. But in any event, that's what we're doing. And one of my latest adventures was this book, Praise the Lord. Took a long time to get to it and print it out, but Messiah in the Passover, Freedom in Messiah. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about Passover now. Freedom in Messiah, and it's a Jewish roots commentary on the book of Galatians. Now, Galatians is a wonderful book talking about our freedom in Messiah and that we're not tied down to the law. The law is not our master, but Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord is our master. And that's what Galatians tells us. And you know, we were singing a song today, Rock of Ages, right? And in that song, there's a little phrase in there that talks about we have freedom from the law, right? We can't fulfill the law with our works. You can't fulfill the law completely. God's standard is so high. And yet we have a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of Messianic Jews, those are Jewish believers, that are trying to fulfill the law with their works. And the book of Galatians tells us that we can't do it. And we shouldn't even be trying to do it. We should be trying to be living in our freedom that Jesus has given us. So, now we're going to be taking a love offering for our ministry. Can I have the ushers come forward? Now we're going to pass out the bulletins, not bulletins, but these are my brochures. Come on up here, gentlemen. You can take that side. And all right, we have for this side. One to a family, one to a single person, please. If we can get a couple more helpers, that would be great. We can get these out a little quicker that way. But once you get them, please open up the brochure. You can see CJF Ministries. We're not only just missions around the world. We're a radio ministry that started in 1948. And it's worldwide as well. We have publications, of course, not only my book, but other books as well. And we have tours to Israel, and our beginning goes all the way back to 1948. Charles Hoff was our founder. And on the back, you can see there's a little bit of my bio, so you can read about that. And our goals about evangelizing Jewish people. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to evangelize Jewish people first in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And also to the Gentiles as well. And then about equipping the church through means of Bible study and discipleship and training and also educating like we're going to be doing today. We're sharing our Jewish roots. Do you know when you become a believer in Jesus, you are spiritually connected to Israel? Spiritually connected to the olive tree of God and His blessings poured out? That includes salvation as well because Jesus was Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. And so we are connected. All right, we're going to be taking that love offering. Oh, love offering at the very end of the service. There is a flap at the end of the brochure here. And that is the place where you can give if you are being led by the Lord to give to our ministry. All checks, please make them out to CJF Ministries. Not my name, but you put your name and address on there. Yeah, it rips right out. So you just rip that right off there. And when the offering comes by, you can just give to our ministry. Just fill out the rest of the information. We will send you a receipt in the mail. We'll also send you my prayer letter that comes out every 3 months. And we also have a letter from the president every 6 months or so. And we have our magazine that comes out. Updates you as to what's going on in our personal ministry, but our ministry around the world. And if you'd like to pray for us, if we have any prayer warriors out here that would love to pray for our ministry, put your email address on there. Every once in a while, I'll send out prayer requests and we'll ask for prayer. My daughter is an archer and she's also a flag football player. I happen to be a coach in flag football, so she wanted to play and she got to play for many years. She joined the high school team and she broke her ankle. In the game, yeah. So we asked for lots of prayer for her. And that was Rebecca. She broke her ankle. So, all right. Well, you can still pray for her. She's still on rehab situation right now. But now she's reffing at the games. And so that's kind of fun for her. But she's hobbling around afterward. You are so cute. You're going to listen to me, aren't you? This is family Bible, so you better listen. She is. She's watching. Is that a boy?
Girl.
Okay. She is listening. I was right. Well, folks, today we're going to celebrate Passover. Even though we're a few weeks ahead of time, that's okay. At the table here, you see there's a lot of curious items. We are going to cover these items. Many of them are going to point right to Jesus being the Messiah for not only the Jewish people, but for the world. Can you imagine Jewish people celebrating Passover and not knowing that it reflects Jesus as their Messiah? Many of the Jewish people are looking for a Messiah even today. And yet they're waiting for someone to come, and guess what? To help them in a political sense, in a military sense, to become free from all of these evil ones that are trying to attack them and wipe them out, to destroy their people. And so they're looking for a conquering king, Messiah. That's what they were looking for 2,000 years ago. And so they missed the suffering servant Messiah when Jesus came. But many of them did believe, so we have to remember not all of the Jewish people rejected Jesus. So we're going to cover all of these items and talk about them as well. Now, in my hand is a little booklet called a Haggadah. Haggadah means to tell, and it's going to help me, the Papa, tell the story of Passover to all of my family today. So you're all my children today, and we are going to have a blessed time. It's a joyful time. We give thanksgiving unto God. We have great love for our family and our friends that we've invited to our Passover. And we are going to have a wonderful time, but we're also going to have a little empathy, sympathy for the Jewish people as we partake. Now, the Passover centers around this plate. This is the Pesach plate, Passover plate. It has indentations in it, you can see. There's Hebrew writing as well and English writing on it. We put all of our, I guess you would call them hors d'oeuvres. You can see we have some food up there in cups. We put the cups on the plate in their specific place. And Papa's going to take from this plate, take from the food, and pass it out to his family. We're all centered around a table and just enjoying our wonderful meal. Now, Passover could last about 6 to 8 hours long in the home. So I don't know how much time you got. I mean, Pastor only gave me 45 minutes. I don't know about that, Pastor. We might have to have lunch about 1 o'clock or 2. I'm just kidding. We'll get through this. We're covering just the summary of Passover. And so the father is the servant of the family. He's going to be helping everyone and going through this Haggadah. He's going to be telling the prayers. He's going to be telling the stories about Passover, because it is a wonderful feast of God, and it's called the Feast of Redemption as well. So we're sitting down to a meal, and before the mama cooks a meal, she has to do something in the household. She has to clean out the house of all leavened products. Now, what has leaven or yeast in it? Bread, that's right. And any other foods that rise have to get out of the house. So she cleans out the house of all leavened products. She even has to go to the kids' rooms, because in their closet, typically we'll have Twinkies or cupcakes or something, right? Hidden away for that midnight snack that Mama doesn't know about, although now she does. And it has to get out of the house. She leaves a couple of pieces of crumbs out somewhere in the household. So Papa does the inspection. And he's going to take his feathers, his wooden spoon, and he's going to go around searching for those couple pieces of breadcrumbs. And 2,000 years ago, he would have used something like this. This is a replica of an oil lamp that they found in Israel. Very similar. You put your oil inside, you light it, and you've got light for many, many hours. And so he'd search throughout all the nooks and crannies of closets and rooms, wherever the kids would actually lead him through the household. It's kind of like a hide-and-seek kind of game. And of course, they'd lead him in the wrong direction, and Papa knows that. Once he finds them, though, he takes his wooden spoon, takes his feathers, puts them on the spoon, wraps them up in white linen, and he throws it into the fireplace. And he burns them all up. Anything that touched the leaven burns them all up. He then prays unto God and says, "Now my house is null and void of all leaven products. We are ready to begin our Passover Seder." And then he takes credit for cleaning the house, which is a typical male thing to do, right? Pick up one item and the house is clean. Right, ladies? Come on. Yeah, you're with me on that. I know. I'm really good at that, actually, in my house. So, all right, now we're going to start our Passover, and I'm going to be asking for volunteers to come forward. So right now, I need a volunteer. I need a mother to be the mother of the whole household today to do a very honorable position and event. I need a mother. This is part of the reason why Passover lasts so long in the house. Well, who's volunteering? Okay, come on up here, young lady. Yeah, sure. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody get up here. You can light the candles. You see, you can't start Passover without lighting the candles, and we have to have a mother. Now, you are a mother, right?
Yes.
Okay. You're the daughter? Very good. If we don't have a mother, then we can't have Passover. Ah, that's not true. Watch your fingers. Quick, blow it out, blow it out. Woo, that was close. All right, now, just put that on top. That's fine. So we light the candles, and then face the audience, and then we pray. Now, this is an ancient Jewish prayer. This is what Jewish ladies and mamas have been praying for thousands of years over the candles so that we can start our Passover. So are you ready? Just repeat after me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kitzanu. All right, we'll do the English. All right, that was the Hebrew. Blessed are you. Don't look.
Blessed are you.
O Lord our God.
O Lord our God.
King of the universe.
King of the universe.
Who has set us apart.
Who has set us apart.
By his word.
By his word.
And in whose name.
And in whose name.
We light the festival candles.
We light the festival candles.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you very much. Give her a little clap. Good job. After we light the candles, Papa picks up his Passover cup. Everyone has a Passover cup, and inside is the fruit of the vine. So we have grape juice inside, and we only drink from this cup 4 times during the evening. Can you imagine only drinking 4 hours and 4 times in like maybe 8 hours of a dinner? Yeah, and we take little sips out of that cup too. Now, of course, you can cheat in other drinks as well, but we only drink from this cup 4 times. Why do we only drink from this cup, you say? Come on. Thank you, sir. This is like an interactive program, you know, on a computer. Yeah. They ask you a question, you answer. Yeah, answer out loud. It's okay. I'll correct you if you're wrong. It's all right to be wrong as well, but I want some participation, all right? Why, you say? Well, because there were 4 promises that God gave the Jewish people as they lived in the land of Egypt while they were slaves. This is how we got our Passover. God gave them 4 promises. So each promise is patterned after one of the cups. The first cup is called the cup of sanctification. And here is God's first promise. It's in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. He said this, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. So what is God doing with the Jewish people? He is separating them or setting them apart from the Egyptians. And hence this cup is called the cup of sanctification because sanctification means to set apart. That is correct. And so Papa says the prayer, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei peri hagafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And then everyone at the table drinks. This is a prayer of consecration over our Passover Seder. And then we are ready to begin. So next up, we are going to wash our hands. Papa takes his water basin. This is a typical Jewish style water basin. He's got water in it. Pours a little bit out on his hands. Has a little bowl underneath it as well. Puts a towel wrapped around his arm. He becomes a servant to the family. Now everybody is going to wash their hands. So young lady, go ahead and put out your hands. We'll get you washed. You don't have to be scared. There's no even water there. Yeah. Not too wet, was it? Now you can dry. We're just playing pretend. So Papa can dry. Yeah, very good. All right, good job. And so we do. We go to everybody. Look at that little baby. You were soaked. Yeah. And you're tired, yeah. So everybody gets a little bit of water. It's not soap and water kind of cleansing, but it's ceremonial cleansing. Just like when the priests would go in the temple to minister unto God, well, they had to wash their bodies. Sometimes they'd actually wash their whole bodies. What we would call like a water baptism, well, we called it mikvah in the Hebrew, and it was a ceremonial cleansing of the body in preparation to meet God in the temple. So that's what the priests would do. And so this is what we do at the Passover. It's been a tradition that goes back thousands of years. And Jesus kept this same tradition at his Passover Seder. Now, we call it the last what? Supper. But it was an actual Passover Seder that Jesus was celebrating. And the scripture is found in John chapter 13. Listen to this now. He says, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. You know the scripture, right? Drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. At the Passover Seder, he washed their feet. Can you imagine that? Do you remember what the disciples were arguing over that night? Who's going to be the greatest? That's right. Who's going to be the greatest? And yet the greatest was at their feet, on his hands and knees, washing. And I believe it was their dirty feet he was washing. Can you imagine that? God may manifest in the flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven to earth to ultimately wash the disciples' dirty feet at the Passover. He was showing us humility. And if God can be humble, then you think we can be humble? That was the teaching. We could be humble too. Now I need some volunteers to come forward. I have one over here. Okay. You're later. Yeah, that young man, he can come. Who else wants to come? I need a couple of volunteers. Come on up. Come on. Come on, young man. I see you right there. You're raising your hand. Come on up. Stand over here. Line up. Face the audience. Don't get too close to the fire. Fire is not a good thing when you're backing up into it. Now, all right. I like your shirt. Very nice. I like that green and white. Very nice. You know what this is?
Cilantro.
Close. It is parsley. Very close to cilantro, but in the Hebrew we call it karpaz. Can you guys say that? Karpaz? Karpaz. Don't worry about that karpaz. Now it's dirty, so just leave it. All right, this is what we're going to do. Everybody's going to get a piece of karpaz. So let's get you a piece. Let's get you a piece. Now, what we're going to do is reenact what I believe Moses and the Jewish people did a long time ago while they were slaves in the land of Egypt. Do you remember what they did? They took, well, God actually told them to take hyssop. Now, hyssop is a blue mint in Egypt. This is a green mint because this is, we don't have blue mints in the United States, so we use green mint instead. And that's our hyssop. Now, we're going to reenact what I believe Moses did 3,500 years ago while he was in Egypt doing what God told him to do. And you remember what they had? They had a Passover lamb. And we're going to imagine that we have Passover lamb's blood. We're going to dip into the Passover lamb's blood. So go ahead, dip. That's it. And we're going to paint the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of the house, right? So now we got a doorpost right here, upper middle portion. That's it. Paint that. Now paint the left side. That's your other left there. There you go. That left side and right side. All right. Now, what sign is that? Help them out. Sign of the cross. Now, can you imagine the Jewish people, Moses even, painting the sign of the cross in the Passover lamb's blood on their doorpost so that when the angel of death would come, what would happen? He would pass over their household. Nobody would die in the household. And, of course, the Jewish people, the firstborn, they were redeemed back to God. That's salvation. Now, unfortunately for the Egyptians, the firstborn passed away. And that was the judgment upon them. But anybody who had that blood on their doorpost, now what do you think that was a sign for? It's a sign of the cross, of Jesus coming 1,500 years later.
Passover lamb. Jesus is the Passover lamb.
I know, you should be teaching, my friend. Whose son is this guy over here? All right, yeah, we got a pastor up here. You want to teach? All right. Sounds good. Okay, here's what we do now. You have to understand, though, Jewish people are not doing this in their homes, okay? But I wanted to show you something that God showed me a long time ago. Was that pretty cool? Yeah. Now, this is what we do. This is green, so green represents life for the Jewish people. And we're going to take our life and we're going to dip it into the salt water. The salt water reminds us, okay, and put your hands underneath that so it drips under your hand. Dip it in there. All right, you guys are pretty healthy dippers. Salt water reminds us of the tears of the Israelites as they lived as slaves in the land. So we're going to have a little empathy towards the Jewish people now as we partake of the karpaz. Are you ready? Let's take a nice big bite. Big bite. Go ahead. Come on, take a bite. Take a bite. How's it taste? Is it good? It's kind of salty. Oh, yeah, that's really salty. Well, that's the idea. You see, we're having empathy towards the Jewish people. And you get that really yucky, salty taste in there. All right, they did a great job, did they not? Let's give them a clap. Good job. You can take that with you. Go ahead. That's my present to you. Yes, yes. He's like, are we supposed to take these with us? Now, in the Jewish home, actually, you have to eat the whole thing. But I'm not requiring you guys to eat the whole thing. But yeah, you don't have to. Wasn't that precious, though? You get that face? Oh, yeah. Now, I don't get that. I don't get that face from my son. My son loves salt. And so he's like, Dad, can I have some more? He loves that. So that's the parsley. Now, after the parsley, we are going to then talk about the matzah tash bag. Got a very interesting bag up here. Even says matzah on it. It's a 3-in-1 bag. There are 3 compartments inside. Take a look in there. You see something? What is that? Bread. It's bread, right? It's actually matzah. There's 3 compartments in here. There's a piece of matzah in each compartment. This is actually the city of David on this matzah tosh bag. This is a typical Jewish style matzah tosh bag. And so it holds the matzah for us. And at this time, though, during the Passover, Papa's going to do something interesting with this bag. Now, what he's going to do, though, is a very mysterious event in the Passover Seder. We don't know exactly why we do this, but we're going to do it. And we've been doing it for thousands of years. So when we don't know the real answer to why we do things in the Jewish world, do you know what the answer really is? What is it? Tradition, that's right. Can anybody sing tradition? Yeah, that's why we do what we do, because a tradition, it's something, you know, it's Jewish that we do it. That's why we got to think, right? We got to think. So, papas around the world are doing this. They pull a piece of the matzah, one of the matzahs, out of the bag. Not from the first compartment, not from the third compartment at this time at the meal. And they will take this piece, take it in their hands, and break it in half. Just like that. They'll put half of it back, and then they got another white linen bag. And they put this matzah piece in this bag. They wrap it up. It's called afikomen. Can you try and say that? Afikomen. Yeah, afikomen. It means that which comes after. So what comes after dinner? Dessert. Well, this is what we eat for desserts at the Passover. I'm telling you, we eat really good, right? Yeah, this is the afikomen. It goes great with salt and parsley, right? Yeah, because it's a matzah cracker. That's what it is. And so what Papa's going to do is wrap it up, and then he tells the kids, hide their eyes, and he hides this somewhere in his household. Because after supper, the kids are going to search for that matzah piece. And when they find it, guess what happens? They get the prize. So it's a hide-and-seek kind of a game. Whoever gets there first gets the prize. Now, the prize could be a toy, could be a book, or something that the child wants, chocolate, something like that. But from where I'm from in New York City, in the richer homes, the prize could be a brand new Mercedes-Benz sitting outside in the driveway. That has been known to happen. And so you can imagine some of the elderly folks ransacking the household also for that most important piece of matzah, right? It becomes the most important piece of the night. Amen? Even in a Christian home, that would be most important, right? If you know there's a Mercedes or at least a pickup outside. Now, like I said, this is a mystery. We don't know why we do this. Can you imagine that? Now, I believe that this is actually the presentation of the gospel message of Jesus. And the Jewish people are performing it in their household in some way or another, and yet they don't even know it. This bag is a three-in-one bag. The rabbis believe that it represents the three forefathers of the Jewish faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I believe it represents our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because at this time in the Seder, we pull the middle piece of matzah out. Now, who would that represent? That would represent the Son, yeah, Jesus. And what do we do? Well, Papa breaks the matzah as Jesus was broken for our sins. And then the Father wraps the Son in the white linen, as the Scripture said, he was wrapped in linen in his death, put away into the tomb for a short period of time, as the matzah afikomen is hidden away for a short period of time. A child finds the afikomen and brings it back to the Father. That would be the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And salvation comes in because when a child finds the afikomen, they get the prize. And when we find Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what's our prize? Eternal life, redemption, salvation. Can you imagine the gospel message right there? And most Jewish people don't know it. Now, we had a few hands raised earlier that you know some Jewish people. We'll talk to them a little bit about the Passover. It's coming up. It's coming up. It's a powerful message that God has for the Jewish people. Now I need some daring young man to handle the maror. Here he is. Come on up. He volunteered. He knows what's coming. Come on over to this side. Maror. That sounds pretty daring, doesn't it? We're going to take a matzah piece. You and I are going to join together in the wonderful empathy of the Jewish people. Ah, how's that smell? Woo! That's good stuff. Okay, maror is actually bitter herbs, which is hot horseradish. All right. This is the empathy section of our Passover. Face the audience, please. We want to have a lot of empathy towards the Jewish people, so we put as much bitter herbs on our matzah piece as we can handle because we want to have tears of compassion strolling down our cheeks. That is the goal. Now, you don't have to do that. Trust me, this is really hot. You don't. No, that's too much. You'll have a heart attack for that. No, that's too much, too. Try that. Okay. That's good. That might be hot. That might be too hot. He says he likes horseradish. Papa, it's okay, right? A lot of disclaimers going on in this church today. We say the prayer, and Lord, help him! And we eat. Go right ahead and eat. Notice I didn't eat. That's too much for me, too. How is it? I don't see tears. Oh, that hit you, huh? Are you glad I didn't give you a lot?
No.
I don't see tears strolling down his cheeks, so do you? What do you think? He's got tears in his eyes. You okay?
Yeah.
You all right? You good? Okay, let's give him a clap. He did a good job. Yeah. Now, any of you daring folks, you want to come up after the service? We got plenty of matzah and plenty of maror, okay? You can try it. Very good, son. You did a good job. And if I let him have that bigger chunk, oh man, he'd be running that way. That would not be good. But the idea is truly that we want to have compassion. And remember, you know, Jewish people, over 40 years of slavery in the land of Egypt. Terrible, terrible thing. Now, Jesus kept this same tradition at his Seder. In John chapter 13, verse 26, he said, "One will betray me, it is the one to whom I dip the morsel and give." Now, the morsel in Greek actually means bread, and we only dip twice during the Passover Seder with this matzah piece. Once at the keroseth, which is next, and once at the bitter herbs. Now, since it was a very bitter moment during the Passover, I think he was dipping at the bitter herbs time, giving it to Judas because Judas was then going to betray him, right? It was a very bitter moment during the Passover. Why? After he ate the piece of bread, what happened? Bible tells us Satan then entered in, took possession, and then he went and did his dastardly deeds against Jesus. Now, can I have some more volunteers to come forward, please, at this time? All right, young lady, come on up. Come on up. Okay, come on up. You three are good. He can come too, that's fine. Yeah, we don't want any frowns back there. I saw that frown all the way up here, so that meant trouble for you, Papa, later on. All right, how's that? Whoa, move up. I just want a little bit of room between this fire and you kids, right? There you go. Hey. Sorry about that. You got extra. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We've got this is what is called the Kuroset. Kuroset. It is apples, nuts, and honey mixture. Now, first up, allergic to nuts at all or any of this? If they're no allergic? Okay, very good. And look how dark that is. This is beautiful. Apples, nuts, and honey mixture. Sweet, smells good. Look at that face. Got to get that on the camera or something. You got a problem with this?
I think it's going to taste gross.
Apples, nuts, and honey? It's sweet. You like sweet stuff? He thinks it's going to taste gross. That's what he said. Apples, nuts, and honey now. It's very sweet and it reminds us of God's sweet promise to bring the Jewish people out of the land of Egypt and into the land of Israel. Israel was the land of promise, right? The land that was flowing with milk and honey. Let's get some pieces on there. Just get a little bit. It's fine. You can have more later. There you go. That's good. Put your hand underneath that. Go ahead and eat. Go ahead and eat so you don't spill. We don't say a prayer over this one. Go ahead, son. You can just have a little bit if you think it's going to be gross. There you go. That's a little bit. Give it a shot. How is it? Is it good? Tastes like sugar? He doesn't like sugary things. Is that right? It does taste weird. Okay. It's different.
Way different.
Nobody liked it? All right. Well, we can't satisfy everyone in this world. Thank you very much. Good job. Good volunteering. Take it. Yeah, take it back. I'll be very honest with you folks. That's the first time I've ever heard that in any church, in any Passover I've ever had before. Usually the kids like that part. Yeah, interesting. It's okay. It's good to have kids that don't like sugary stuff, right? Now, Papa at this time tells a story of Passover, and he remembers that God gave a covenant to the Jewish people. He covenanted to be with them. And yet, 400 years, they were in slavery, and they cried out unto the Lord. So God met Moses at the burning bush, and he commissioned Moses, go back to the land. Go back to the land of Egypt. Go back to the Pharaoh and tell the Pharaoh to do what? To let my people go. And Pharaoh said, sure, why not? Okay, no problem. No, he said no. And hence we celebrate the second cup. It's called the cup of judgment because of the plagues, the 10 plagues that were cast upon the Egyptians. Remember God's second promise. He said, I will free you from being slaves. So he did that through the 10 plagues. And we remember, as Jews, we remember that lives were lost. Egyptian lives were lost so that we could be free. And also as believers, though, we remember Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Speaking of Messiah, it says this, he was crushed for our iniquities, the chastening for our peace fell upon him. So he became our judgment for our sins. And so we remember him in this second cup as well. He took our judgment so that we could be free. Papa says the prayer and then everyone drinks. After the second cup, we have the Passover lamb. Are you getting hungry, kids? You hungry? Well, somebody already ate my Passover lamb. What happened? Did you sneak some bites earlier? Nope, this is a shank bone of a lamb, and then we have it instead of the Passover lamb. We don't eat lamb at Passover, and we haven't for thousands of years. And actually, It happened in 70 AD in Jerusalem in Israel. It was the destruction of the temple. And so from that time to this, we can't take our lambs on Passover into the temple to be sacrificed so that we can take the meat back home and celebrate. And so instead we have the shank bone of a lamb. It's a shoulder bone. This is a real one as well. I know because I ate it many, many years ago, but not on Passover. So, but it's a shoulder bone. Pretty cool, huh? You guys can come and check it out later on. A real bone. But it reminds us of the Passover lamb. Now, in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says that Jesus is our Passover lamb. That's what one of you young men said earlier. Jesus is the Passover lamb. So this shank bone reminds us of Jesus being our Passover lamb as well. Now there's another curious item on this table, and it is an egg. An egg cooked by fire, typically in the oven. And the egg represents life for the Jewish people. But for us as believers, it can represent eternal life. Why? Because it's circular. There is no beginning and no ending to the circle. Represents eternal life. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's talking about eternal life. Eternal life that only the Messiah can give. So everyone eats the egg and partakes symbolically of eternal life. Every person at the table will have an egg for themselves. So we have dinner. And then we're going to have dessert. So that was a quick dinner, probably the quickest you've ever had. Then we have the dessert. You remember what it was called? Afikomen, that's right. Papa takes it out. He gives the present, the prize to the person who found it. He takes the matzah piece out. He breaks it up into small olive-sized pieces, and he gives it to everyone at the table. He then gives thanks unto the Lord for the bread. For the matzah. And then everybody eats. This was the time at the meal, at the Passover Seder, that Jesus instituted the communion for all believers. He took the bread, he gave thanks, which was typical for the papas to do. He passed it out to his disciples. But then he said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so he added a new truth to the Passover Seder, the matzah. He said it's his body. Symbolically, it is his body. Look how thin this is. There's no leaven in it, right? Leaven in the Bible is a sign for what? Sin. So this represents that which has no sin. Jesus lived a life without sin. You look at the matzah piece, you can see that there are brown stripes running up and down the matzah. There are holes in the cooking process of the matzah. Listen to the scripture in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced through for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. You see, the bread has been striped to represent Jesus' body being striped by those Roman soldiers. The bread has been pierced through to represent Jesus being pierced through his hands, his feet, and his side. Every time we partake of communion, he wants us to remember what he did as the Messiah, the Son of God, who gave of his body to be broken. His sinless, perfect body as the sacrifice for our sins. Striped, pierced through. And he did it all for us so that our sins could be forgiven. What a wonderful God we have. Amen? After we eat of the bread, then the Jewish people, they pull out the cup. It's the third cup. This cup is called redemption. God's third promise. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. How did he redeem the Jewish people? Through the blood of the Passover lamb. We put that blood on the doorpost, remember? In the sign of the cross, right? So for Jewish people, this third cup, it represents the blood of the Passover lamb, the very first one, though. Jesus lifted up the cup and he said, this represents my blood, right? Exactly what did he say? This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can you imagine Jewish people celebrating the third cup? It represents the blood of the Passover lamb, and they don't have a connection to Jesus as the Passover lamb. It's not there. We've got to pray that it get there. He lifted it up and he said, we're starting the new covenant in my blood. So his body was broken and his blood is going to be spilled. Because blood needs to be spilled for the atonement of sins. That goes all the way back to, it goes all the way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve. And the first blood sacrifice. Papa says the prayer, lifts it all up, and everybody drinks. Now after the third cup, you've probably been wondering, this table, there's a chair over here that's empty. We have a place setting and a cup, food, got a little kippah. Kippah is a yarmulke for covering of the head for the Jewish people. It keepeth the head warm in the winter. That's how you remember, right? Now, here is a prayer shawl. Goes around the shoulders. You see in the movies, they'll take it up over their head. Even Jesus does and covers as they pray. Well, we don't cover our heads anymore in the New Covenant, but a lot of Jewish people still use prayer shawls and cover for prayer. We also have a pillow. So we're expecting a visitor to come. Now, this pillow represents slavery. It's nice and cushiony. We're all sitting on cushiony chairs. Well, in the first Passover, we Jews, we celebrated with staff in hand, ready to what? To leave. Well, now we're not ready to leave. We don't have to leave. We're not slaves any longer. So we have pillows to represent our freedom. We can sit cushiony and enjoy and have a very nice time sitting around and relaxing. Well, we are expecting a visitor to come. We are expecting the prophet Elijah to come to our Passover Seder. You ask, why are the Jewish people waiting for Elijah to come? Why? All right. Well, there's a scripture in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So Elijah's coming first, and he's going to introduce the Lord or Messiah to the world. So Jewish people make the application to their Passover Seder. So it doesn't matter wherever they're celebrating, around the whole world, they are waiting for Elijah to come. So what we'll do is we'll send the kids out to the front door and look outside and say, hey, Elijah hasn't come yet, so go and see if he's there. You're not a kid. You're all right, you can go. And so they'll go to the front door, they'll look outside, he's not there, they come back, Papa, Papa. I've been doing this for years. Where's Elijah? When's he going to come? Maybe next year Elijah will come. Maybe next year. But you know what? Elijah has already come. So Jewish people are waiting for someone who's not going to come. Listen to the scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse 17. This is an angel of the Lord speaking about John the Baptist. And he said, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Jesus spoke of John later on in Matthew 11. He said, if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. And so John the Baptist, was the Elijah who the Jewish people are waiting for today. And he came 2,000 years ago to introduce Jesus as the Messiah. And he did it at the baptism. What did he say to Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Now, why did he call Jesus the Lamb of God? Because he is the Passover Lamb who was to die, shed his blood for the remission of all sin. And John the Baptist knew. Now we get to the fourth cup of praise. This is our last cup and the end of our Passover Seder. Jewish people call praise in the Hebrew is called Hallel. Hallel, and that's what means praise. We get our word hallelujah from that word. It means, hallelujah means praise the Lord. Fourth promise, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. So Jewish people are praising the Lord that they have become God's chosen people and free from slavery, and no longer are we slaves. But we as believers, we praise God, not that we're free in the physical sense, but that we are free in the spiritual sense. That we have become free from our sin and free from the law and free to go to heaven. Now that baby's not free. That's the problem, right? She wants to be free. All right. Give her the gospel. Well, I'm doing it right now. All right. So Papa says the prayer, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Peri Hagafen, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, and we all drink. And our Passover Seder is now complete, except we do one last thing. As a family, we yell out real loud next year in Jerusalem, because our hope is that we'll celebrate Passover next year in Jerusalem if we don't do it this year. Now, who wants to go to Israel and celebrate Passover with me next year? All right. Well, let's lift it up to the Lord, and maybe we'll be there. One, two, three. Next year in Jerusalem. Amen. Let's go before the Lord and give Him praise and thanks for this wonderful Seder. Father, You are a wonderful and awesome and kind God. We give You the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank You for the Messiah in the Passover, Lord. We thank You that You've hidden Messiah in the Passover so that even the Jewish people would be able to see if You would just open up their eyes. And so, Lord, we pray that You open up their eyes, that they would see the light of Jesus as their Messiah in this wonderful Seder. And, Lord, maybe there was a person here today that has recognized that they're a sinner. They need a Savior and a Lord and a God in their life. And Jesus is the one and only one. And maybe they recognize today that they need to have that sin forgiven. They need to have Jesus in their life. And so I'm going to say a prayer. If you have a desire to repent from your lifestyle of sin and turn to Jesus, because He's the answer to all of our problems. He is the answer to get to go to heaven. He's the answer for our sin issue. He takes it all upon Himself, and He did it a long time ago. He just needs you to recognize that and receive it and acknowledge it today. So if there's a person here today that wants to do that, then say this prayer right now. You just speak to Jesus. Speak from your heart. And say, Jesus, I now believe in You and receive You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank You for resurrecting on the third day to show me eternal life and that You are God. I receive You now. Help me to live a godly life from this day forward. With our eyes still closed and heads still bowed, if you prayed that prayer, and I want you to raise your hand, raise it up on high. If you prayed that prayer just now, lift it up so we may pray for you. Don't be shy. If anyone prayed that prayer, just lift it up so we may pray for you. And Father, I just want to pray for the church. Thank You for the pastor allowing me to teach here, Lord. And thank You for the church and the wonderful hearts for this ministry and for this wonderful Passover. And for the Jewish people, Lord, we pray for the Jewish people that they'll be saved, Lord, that they'll see the light in this Passover, in their Passover Seders, Lord, as they celebrate in a few weeks around the world. We just pray that they'll see that wonderful good news, Lord, and that they'll decide and be saved. So, Lord, please bless the church. Bless us as we leave, Lord, as we go, and even as we celebrate the communion right now, keep us in the Spirit, Lord, as we go before You and commune with You in a special way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.